108 at WILK. 46 degrees for the people of NEPA, and a terrible traffic jam on 81 North from about Montage to where we are in Pittston, which is, that's a long stretch. I don't know what the cause, people keep telling me about it. I'm not sure why it's happening, but I am telling you it is happening. So avoid. If I can say that enough to you, I would say avoid. There are other ways that you can handle your business. If you decide to use 315, you may find yourself not alone in that regard too, though. Just be ready. By our building here where you can exit to get onto a 315 at North. What a disaster. Again, another disaster today. I was on 315. It's one of the most poorly designed exit ramps onto 315, probably on the planet. I wish PennDOT would rethink the Oak Street only lane. That's where I think things get balled up, because people think, oh, I can't use the second lane on 315 unless I'm going to use Oak Street. So they all end up in the right-hand lane, and it is a disaster. Something should be done. I know this is not the first time I've ever talked about this, and I'm sure where you live, there's something that gives you a headache, a splitting one. But this makes no sense at all. None. Zero. Zilch. Nada. Because you're literally telling people they can't use a lane that they can unless they want to turn left onto Oak Street. Stupid, 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 stupid. Hashtag that's my PennDOT. I think PennDOT should be forced to sit there and see. Ludicrous. But here we are. And if that's the only outburst I have today, that will be fortunate for you. But I some things make no sense to me. Not at all. And I don't like to get sore on what is both Elvis Presley's birthday and David Bowie's birthday. I don't like to get sore on a day like this. And those two guys certainly meant a lot to two different generations during the respective lifetimes of the young and maybe the middle-aged and possibly the quite old. So there you go. Period. End of story. Let's talk a little bit about the governor of Pennsylvania making the announcement today that he will seek another term. And this is another situation where the people of Pennsylvania will have to make a decision this coming fall about a governor. And we'll see just what they do. Josh Shapiro has been making this announcement in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia today, and I don't know if the one is over, but I don't know if the other one was held yet. But he had made an announcement last week that he had two press conferences in the state. And I was thinking that it was most certainly making the announcement that he would run for governor again. So he did. Last night, State Senator Doug Mastriano, a Republican, who was still toying with getting into the race, the gubernatorial race, said he's not, NOT, not going to run for governor this time. He did not rule it out for the future. So is there a chance you'll see him at some other point? Yes, there is a chance. There's always a chance. That basically leaves Josh Shapiro, incumbent governor, and Stacey Garrity, state treasurer, as your candidates. Of course, I'm always disappointed when the primary means nothing, and I always like to see ideas brought forth. And in this way, you'll see ideas brought forth, but they won't be inter-party ideas. So we've basically got our matchup. And this is what it is, unless there is some kind of crazy extenuating circumstance. This is your matchup. So I'd ask you right now, how do you feel about this matchup? I did put this question up on the WILK Facebook page for you to kind of give me a feel about where you are at this point. Now, we know that Josh Shapiro has presidential aspirations. We know this. That field will be mighty crowded, mighty, mighty crowded. And do you think that, is there anything that makes you think that it should be, you know, one office at a time? Obviously, he's not simultaneously running for president and governor, nor has he announced his intention to run for president. So that hasn't been done yet. He's no Paige Cognetti in that regard. That lady, she made the announcement she wanted to run for Congress before she won the mayoral election in Scranton. And a lot of people, of course, were critical of her, but she won anyway, and she won convincingly. And there you go. So maybe we protest too much, and most of you don't give a rip about what's happening with these politicians. So what could be said about Josh Shapiro? Well, he is a pretty popular governor. He has I believe he has a pretty high approval rate, and that would show that in some regards he does have a crossover appeal, right? With Democrats and Republicans. Oh, the last one I can find here. Let's see. The last time his approval was gauged. I'm trying to find one that is most current, as opposed to one that is old. So it was measured at 60% overall, and 66% among independents when it was gauged recently. And the ability to get the folks in the middle, the independent voters, is going to be crucial for both of these candidates. So if he's polling well with independents, that means that Stacey Garrity, she's going to have some work cut out for her. Somebody wrote, I'm glad the Republicans aren't going to have to waste a lot of money on the primary, and they can actually focus on the general. Well, it kind of anoints the candidate, though, which I'm not a big fan of. And wouldn't it be each candidate would have to spend the money? I see what you're saying, but at the same time, we have primaries for a reason, and I don't think that we should just blow by them. Unfortunately for Shapiro, the Democrats have made their stance on Jewish people extremely clear. He will not be their nominee. Well, I mean, if you believe that to be true, it's kind of unfortunate. Although there are some pretty powerful contenders, again, but he's got to get through this first. So on our Facebook page, I did put up a thing about your preference. I think that Stacey Garrity will be a strong candidate. She has a lot of things going for her that I think will make her a decent opponent for Josh Shapiro. She comes from a business background. She served in the military. Certainly that does help with some voters who like somebody who espouses military philosophy, military discipline, things like that. She is a popular treasurer who received the most votes ever for a row officer in Pennsylvania when she won in 2024, which says a lot. That shows that a lot of people had her back. Absolutely. So that shows that she has popularity within the state of Pennsylvania. She has instituted some programs as the treasurer that I think are popular with people. One is that they have been returning money from the Pennsylvania Treasury to people, where the people in the past used to have to seek that money out and apply for it and prove a certain set of standards. They've been more apt to dole it out to you than perhaps previously. She seems to be fiscally disciplined. She seems to be somebody who is concerned about spending. During the government shutdown, the state, under her auspices, did offer loans to nonprofit organizations that needed money because it wasn't coming in due to the government shutdown. I think that was popular with people. So she has a lot of those things going for her. She has said, and I don't know how this plays into her philosophy, that Pennsylvania is at present a mediocre state, but she thinks she has the idea to make it a better state. Josh Shapiro has shepherded the state through numerous budgets, although sometimes it's taken longer than we ever thought possible for his budgets to be accepted. He is energetic. He is a dynamite public speaker. Some people are not as versed at speaking publicly as he is. He does have the crossover appeal. The independents seem to like him. He has touted the fact that there have been some tax cuts underneath his term, and I think it'll be a good one. We'll see how it develops. There's a lot. There's an absolute lot that can happen between now and Election Day. Here's the future. Shapiro wins governor. He runs for president, makes it to the February 2nd. After Nevada, New York, he quietly drops out. If the Dems win, he is appointed Secretary of the Treasury or Interior, drops out after 2 years and runs for state Senate. That's an interesting text message. Trump and MAGA have poisoned our Republican Party, somebody else wrote in. You can be guaranteed that the attack on him, his family, and the governor's house will be used and milked during the election season. I hope not. I hope this is about policy. Because as a Pennsylvania resident, we know the facts about that attack. And it was done by a lunatic. And that guy has pled guilty. So I don't know. Do you really think that's an issue that is important to people who live here? Now, you can tell me whatever you want, though. I'm not sure on that one. The path of Josh Shapiro dropping out and then possibly becoming the Secretary of the Treasury or Interior, I find that very intriguing stuff because this person obviously thought about it. And I don't know how they got on that path, but I certainly admire the fact that they gave it some thought, which we always appreciate it. 570-883-0098. We'll take a little break here. More music from 1976 on the other side. That's a good one. Fox on the Run by Sweep. A band I really, really like. At 1:25 here. WILK. January the 8th, our Thursday show, that song from 1976, after 2 o'clock. It's you and I taking a peek into life in these parts in 1976. Some of you weren't here yet. You missed some good times. Other people probably have fond remembrances of what it was like to be here during the year when we did celebrate the bicentennial. We had a head start, and it was a good time. We just kind of gave the situation in Minnesota a little room today. I didn't start the show with it. I'm always trying to, I don't know, just to be judicious over what we do. We did talk a lot about it yesterday when it was happening in live time. And predictably, it has become a political football. And there's a lot going on here. And it's honestly, I always think, well, will cooler heads come along and try to tamp down what's, of course not. Not in a world like ours. It just doesn't seem as though we're capable of that anymore. Immediately, it becomes, it either becomes a case of murder or it becomes a case of self-defense. So the battle lines have been drawn. And even the entity that will conduct the investigation has created controversy. So as mentioned yesterday when I was here and I had seen this developing in its initial phases, I just knew that this is where we would be today. In that area in Minneapolis, there have been clashes between protesters and law enforcement. Pepper balls were fired toward a crowd of demonstrators outside a federal building with agents deploying a gas-like substance. That's new for today. The Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension said it was forced to withdraw from investigating the shooting after the FBI took control of the case. Governor Waltz urged that Minnesota be part of this investigation. So for of those of you who are into the legal system and know a bit about this, is it right? Is it proper? Is it just for a federal agency to investigate something that involved a federal employee? My guess would be yes, but look, I'm not a lawyer, and I don't regret the decision, although I like to argue, as you know from listening to me talk. But at the same time, regardless of who is put in charge, you absolutely know that it would cause a controversy. Now, for this this member of the Department of Homeland Security, can this individual still be in trouble somehow? I would say that that could happen. I mean, we've seen it in the past. Could a grand jury be seated in Minnesota? And could there be an attempt to charge this guy? I wouldn't put that past anybody, but let's wait and see. Christy Noem spoke, saying she is not opposed to sending more immigration authorities to Minneapolis. She has defended the agent, saying the deceased woman, who has been identified, she was identified by her mother yesterday, as a 37-year-old Renee Nicole Good tried to run over the officer. State and local officials disputed claims that shooting was done in self-defense. Well, we need to know more. I'm telling you, this is not going to be something where they make a decision on this quickly. They're going to have to be very judicious in what they see, because this thing has been videotaped from a variety of angles. And if you think you're sure on this, good for you. I'm not. I would lean toward the fact that the officer did act in self-defense because of what was in front of his face and what he was seeing. I don't know why the woman reacted the way that she did. I don't know if she did so out of malice or fear. I mean, think about it. To put yourself in that situation. I'm not sure why she acted the way she did. Was she malicious or fearful? I can't tell you. Oh, maybe we will know. Maybe we won't know. People are wondering if there's any kind of body cam footage for this. And that I don't know yet either. And if you know, do hit me to it. Multiple videos of the shooting that were reviewed by CNN show nuance. And exactly what took place before the shooting remains unclear. So they were smart enough at CNN to say that this does show nuance, which would to me means that it's going to be a difficult interpretation. And I don't know who, is it one person that makes the official ruling on this? Is it done by committee? I'm not sure even who is the final arbiter of what you all saw. I wish I knew, but I don't know. And that arbiter faces a pretty tough job. You guys get mad when the touchdown is recalled. Can you imagine being of the individual or individuals who have to sort this one out? And I agree with CNN that we need to get more context of what happened prior to this incident as well. And I'm sure that some of that is going to be revealed as time goes along. So I invite you to react to these developments, and I would talk to you about them. Absolutely. All right. Break time, weather time, and then your time. 570-883-0098. WILK. It is our Storm Tracker 16 forecast from meteorologist Joe Snedeker. Sun this afternoon and a 47. Increasing clouds tonight, 34. Cloudy with periods of rain on Friday with a 50. Cloudy with periods of rain on Saturday and a 47. Clouds, some sun, and cooler with flurries on Sunday, a 43, but that's not too shabby anyway. It's all good weather-wise. 48 at WILK. I am receiving your text messages about how you feel regarding this situation. Let's remember the mayor of Minneapolis during the George Floyd riots did his best to inflame the situation and make the riots worse. The mayor yesterday in his remarks helped no one. He's another one that lacks impulse control. As much as you may want to say incendiary things to people, isn't it better in a case where, and I already can hear your heads exploding, but look at the other leadership we have. I'm also against that, by the way. So I'm at least consistently disgusted with the absolute lack of thinking before speaking, or the ability to think that whatever you say is acceptable. It's just not. And he's a fine example of no impulse control. The president yesterday, I didn't think that he was particularly helpful in the situation either. I understand it must be terribly frustrating and inflammatory for the governor of Minnesota, the mayor of Minneapolis, to be saying things that are going to wind you up. But at the same time, in the United States, we need to be big picture and really wait for what happened here, not to rush to judgment. Both sides' leadership rushing to judgment yesterday, and not a very prudent way to act. But again, we're living in a new world, and maybe that's the way that we're going to see things happen in the future, because the paradigm has shifted. I'm not thrilled with it. I don't know if we'll ever go back to a day when people are somewhat more genteel, but I'd like to see it. Also from the text messages, something must have definitely happened before the officer tried to open the woman's car door and get her out. And we are not seeing that video yet. I'm going to agree with you that that can lend some context. I'm not sure why he went up to her vehicle and tried to open the door so rapidly. People have speculated as to what they think. The speculation is unproven. So from my perspective, it's something that needs to be sorted out. Did her words alone inflame him? That would be the officer who was at the door. The officer who was trying to open the door was not the officer who shot her. And some people on Facebook were drawing that conclusion yesterday, which was a false conclusion. So you have to be careful. Again, I don't know what transpired. Did she say something that was imminently threatening? We don't know. Did she say nothing that was imminently threatening? I can't tell you. Something happened there, though. And hopefully that if there is body cam, then we'll know. But I'm not sure that there is because I haven't heard it yet. As for the bicentennial and the 250th birthday of our country this year, I wasn't born yet for the bicentennial, but looking historically, perhaps with a romantic view, there was a feeling of hope and belief and pride for the USA, because today it seems more tepid, blasé, nonchalant. Should I feel jealous of those times? Yes, you should. But I'm here to suggest that this event that we are about to celebrate on July 4th gives us the opportunity to feel that pride. I know some of you are down in the mouth about the country all the time, but there are things here that are celebratory and just reaching our 250th birthday, although we look like infants and toddlers compared to Europe. I mean, it's kind of a big thing. And for some of us, it's going to be the last hurrah. So I say, maybe it will help us, although I'm just as cynical as everybody else. And maybe at the end of the day, it will be tepid and blasé and nonchalant. I wouldn't say it doesn't matter if she acted maliciously or in fear. Getting run over, I don't care what your reason is. Okay. Well, I think it goes to some kind of a state of mind. The news says the woman was stalking and disrupting their work all day. Do you think she was a domestic terrorist? You know, it's funny you should bring this up because I had a lengthy conversation yesterday about this with somebody. And I, to me, don't hate me. Christy Noem, she didn't help either when she said that. A domestic terrorist, to me, it seems to be more of a bomb planter or a mass murderer. She just seemed to, don't get mad, and you can disagree with me, but she just seemed to be acting impulsively. I don't see her as a domestic terrorist, but Christy Noem did say that yesterday. And I didn't think that it was necessarily the greatest thing she said. So from my perspective, to me, although I guess I'd have to look up how one is classified as a domestic terrorist, to me, she doesn't seem like one. She just seems to be like somebody that got caught up in something and it had an awful conclusion. Why was her wife standing on the sidewalk filming it? Why was she yelling at ICE to leave? She was there to cause trouble, a cabinet guy. Well, I don't think that we can dispute the fact that she was there to stir it up. I don't think that there's that should be disputed. I guess the outcome is the thing that is under scrutiny. All right, we'll take a break here. You're allowed to say what you want to say. You don't necessarily have to agree with me, and I don't have to agree with you. But I think that maybe we're trying to work through it in a way that's kind of calm and rational. If anybody wants to kind of take up the angle of domestic terrorism, I leave it in your court. From my perspective, although maybe I should brush up on the statute of what makes one a domestic terrorist. But my vision and my mind doesn't quite match this individual. But if you want to argue the point, I'm willing to hear from you. I promise. 570-883-0098. It's WILK. You know what? That's kind of a core memory sort of song for me. Paul Anka wrote a lot of songs, but he didn't write that one. But he sung it really well, which I give him credit for. Straight out of 1976, we're 4 minutes away from the Bloomberg Money Minute on WILK, and this is Joe of Berwick.
Hello, Sue.
Hi.
Hey, I just wanted to add some perspective to this when you're talking about this clash, I guess, between saying that this needs to be investigated between, state and local officials or the federal government. Well, here's the thing that needs to be kept in mind about this whole area, Minnesota, and particularly the city that we're talking about with Jacob Fry. Now, this is a place where, as you know, these riots happened, and I believe this is where that one Kyle Rittenhouse, I think this also involved him, where he defended himself and they wanted to nail him to the wall, and we know the whole story there. They allowed that city to burn. When the incident happened to begin with this police officer.
Kyle Rittenhouse was in Wisconsin, just to be
okay,
accurate.
So that's Wisconsin. Okay, right. So he's out of the question. But I do know that they had the riots there over the George Floyd incident. The city was allowed to burn to the ground, basically. The police officer who was at the center of all this had it was revealed that he had numerous complaints made against him, professional complaints on how he was doing his job and use of force. The senator from that state, Amy Klobuchar, was, I guess, the DA at the time. And this man just went on doing what he did. Nobody did anything about it. After all that happens, the city descends into chaos again. There were reports of how ambulances would just pull up to that neighborhood to get, crime victims, gunshot victims and whatnot, because the crime was so out of control. And they would just roll in and grab people and roll out. It was so out of control. The police chief there recently, he had apologized for telling the truth. He said that there was, gangs of young African men, because of the immigrant population, and he said, hey, they're causing a whole lot of crime, and everybody knew this, and yet he was made to apologize and recant that statement. And the point I'm getting at is there are just no adults in charge there, and you saw what happened with this, the fraud, like the biggest fraud scheme in our nation's history, probably. And they all stood there and watched it happen. And even now it's being reported retaliated against state employees who tried to raise, concern about it. So to even suggest that these people are in any position to make any kind of judgment or serious inquiry about it is absurd, because there are no adults in charge anywhere. Is the same city that actually voted, now they didn't accept it, but they actually took a vote on whether or not to completely disband their police force. It's absurd. It's like a clown cars and show at a place.
Well, at the end of the day, based upon what you've said, though, Joe, it still would, I guess, come down to whose jurisdiction it is. And the way I perceive it, it would fall under federal jurisdiction, because it involved somebody that's a federal employee.
Well, if it's a question of jurisdiction, then yeah, I can't claim that I have any insight on that or what would be, the proper. But what I am saying is that, look, when you have people like that in charge and things fall apart, and then you have somebody
okay.
like Trump come along,
right. okay.
well, you could say,
we got to go.
Yeah.
Or we're up against it severely. Here's your bloom. Good old Jigsaw. Don't know whatever happened to them, but that was a good song. I just love the proper craft of pop music. And this is good stuff. We have 1:54. We have the news 6 minutes away. 1976. We'll take a peek at it. After the news on WILK, your text messages are still coming in regarding this situation in Minnesota. We gave you the kind of updated look at what's transpired so far today. Many of you are familiar with the story. You've perhaps formed an opinion, which you're allowed to do. Absolutely, 100%. There is a division on what happened, and there is going to be some sorting out before it's all over, which we look forward to hearing about, because it's not over till it's over. Somebody wrote in, apparently the woman in the car was trying to block the efforts of ICE all day. So no matter what side of the shooting you land on, you have to admit the paid protesters have achieved their goal, because nobody has mentioned a Somali daycare in 2 days. I don't know. That still seems to be a topic. Although not one as prominent as before this happened. So in a way, it's kind of taken this to a new point. So this is what we're paying attention to now. Somebody else, I hear the right saying, the left uses inflammatory speech, but then says the Democrats are terrorists and radical lunatics. Seems hypocritical. As a member of the right, I have to tell you that I don't talk like that. So please don't put us all in the same basket. I have said repeatedly that I believe that the left and the right both say things that are inflammatory to the point where these things they say can have consequences. If you continue to say certain things, people who are not good, grounded, reasonable, rational people may have a tendency to believe you and therefore act at your behest in a way that maybe they wouldn't act before. Right? It cuts both ways. And sometimes this is fomented by both sides. Was this woman... was she doing what she did because of what she heard and how she had to protect illegal immigrants in this country? I don't know. Maybe she heard people say, look at who they are. They're just human beings. Blah-de-dee-blah-de-dee-blah. This is cruel and unusual. If you don't stand up, you're a monster. And maybe she thought, oh, if I don't stand up, I'm a monster. So I've got to go out there and stand up. If people hear something often enough, they might act upon it. It could cut the other way as well. I'm just using this because this is the example that is kind of current. I heard it reported yesterday that the victim's mother said she was terrified. If so, why was she there blocking their vehicles in the first place? We don't know. That's something that we need to have more information on. Hopefully that's part of the investigation. It should be. The second officer in front of the car shot her. A video shows the officer by the door jumped out of the way, looking like he got glass sprayed in his face. Well, I mean, if so, that's an important part of the investigation to either say that did happen or didn't happen. It doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on with what happened in Minnesota, but what's really sad is there was a physician on site willing to help this lady and do life-saving measures to save her, and ICE would not let her in. It then took more than 15 minutes for an ambulance to get on site. That's a disgrace. That was reported. We shall wait and see how that factors in. And then somebody sent me the domestic terrorism statue. And I mean, under some one particular point of it, I guess you could argue for it, but it's kind of thin. And it seems to be appearing in acts involved that are dangerous to human life. Somebody else, I'm done with Republicans. They murder people who disagree with them. No civil rights for Democrats under this administration. All right. On that, we stop for the hour. We invite Paul Michaels in to give you the news, and then we come back to finish the show.